You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16. And in our seeking to come to grips and remind and be refreshed by that which God did way back so long ago on Calvary's cross. And remember, if you would, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world and before God, as we said it 1,000 times, before God created angels or humans, God in his wonderful, magnificent glory went and decided to honor himself since there is no one else to honor him. And he went and planned to have a wonderful way to give expression to his person, whereby he would be glorified and honored, and rightly so. And therefore, God the Son determined to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he would go to the cross. And that is stated for us in many different ways. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world before anything. Now hang on to that. That, as you said 100 times, that is the main issue of all of history. And all of creation, all the rest of it is unknown to us. God hasn't given it. But that which he has revealed, angels, etc., etc., that's the centerpiece. The grand centerpiece. And all of history and all of time is going to demonstrate for eternity that wonderful event that makes all of it possible. So God, thus, no one, God died, the Lamb slain, or for all human beings, in order to be created. I mean, we're born in sin, as God would know, so God provided a wonderful solution in Genesis 3:15, and he promised a seed, the woman, he promised the Lamb of God would be slain for the sin of the world. And he did that. And all of history, biblical history, has gone and demonstrated and communicated that wonderful message. So in the process, all humans are dependent. The reason they're born is that they can die, they can be born physically so that they can be born spiritually. And that's an awesome, awesome thing. Now, having said that, and all humans need to be born. And we share together in Genesis, John 3 and all of that, 18 and that. Why do we need? Because we're born dead in sin. Ephesians 2, 1 and 5. We're born dead, spiritually dead. We're disconnected. We're supposed to be, God has designed us for himself, like we shared on Sunday, gas for the car, God for your body. And it's an awesome thing, an awesome, awesome, wonderful thing. And God has done that. And therefore, we're born without that. And we're condemned already. So why? Because we're born spiritually dead. And in John 3:3, so keep reading in the chapter, and God will say what? That the wrath of God already abides on you. So there's no, every human being born is already condemned. Every human being born, the wrath of God is over them. They're waiting. They're born dead. And unless they appropriate what God has done, they're going to lose out. So, and then we shared and added in Romans 3 and 19, as we just did, that all are guilty before God. God has made it, Romans 1, 2, 3, that the whole world is guilty before God, Jew and Gentile. And the word guilty there, guilty, is the word judgment. They're liable to penalty. They're condemned. They're born condemned. They're born dead in sin. They're born, the wrath of God abideth on them unless they get saved and turn to God. Now, having said all that and keeping that in mind, and in Romans 6, without turning there, you know these things. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through and in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now God, all of that, all of those wonderful things, we are in great need. And you have provided the need in a most magnificent way. You yourself are the solution. So when we come to Matthew chapter 16, a few months before going into the cross, and he's going to say, which again, verse 21, 16 and 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must, the word must, M-U-S-T, it is compulsory, absolutely a necessity. He must. You must be born again. Same little word, must. There is no playing with it. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, he said that. He may include him in of what it was all about. And from now on, as you're reading in his life, all going to the cross, he's all zeroed in. He's zeroed in on the target where he's going. Of all the other things he did, but he's zeroed in where he's going. His hour is coming. So therefore, as we're looking, here's the word suffering. Suffer, to suffer. And so therefore, the Lamb of God slain, therefore slain, slaughtered like sheep, as we shared, that's not a very pleasant thing. God, so what are you going to do? God said, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to suffer many things. And the word suffer is to experience hardship, grief, evil, illness, jeopardy, pain, punishment. Suffer every kind of way to suffer that which is a loss. You're missing something, and therefore that which you're missing is causing suffering. Hang on to that. You're missing suffering. So now, having said that, remember he as the perfect man and the perfect God united in his perfect humanity, he is able to go and enjoy God in a perfect way. A perfect way. Everything he did nothing of himself. His whole wonderful life was to be an example for us. What are we supposed to do? We're created for God to enjoy himself in us and for us to enjoy ourselves in God. Now, so having said that, the experience to be suffered, to punish pain, sickness, something that is done to us that causes us discomfort, pain, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so therefore he's going to be killed. Well, that's, do you want to know what kind of suffering is it? It's suffering to the point of death. So therefore, and he's going to be rejected by the Jewish religious, Jewish politic, Jewish thinking. He's going to be able to say, you may want to turn over there just for the sake of doing it. And over to John chapter 1, in case we forget. In John chapter 1, you tell us right off, God. In John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, etc. Verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not, John 1:10. Verse 11, he came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. They rejected him, hang on to that. He's going to suffer many things by the Jews, the Pharisees, religiously, politically, except every way. And he came and they rejected him. He entered the city as we shared, and they rejected him. Now, having said that, and then that's the context, by the way, of when he turns around, the people who should receive him didn't, and he turns around and says, to whosoever, that's where verse 12 comes in, that's where we sneak in. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. That's how we got in. They were first, because Jew first, the Jew first, because they had all the information. If anyone should have the news and understand, they do. They rejected it, and God says, he's going to, another illustration. He invites them all to the wedding. They don't come. He sends them out to the street and bring in anyone. Fill those seats. Whosoever. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, he's going to suffer many things. So how does this suffering go? How does it work? In an awesome way. We'll try it. Over, if you would please, to Luke, and then chapter 22. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, if I may. And you will notice, please, going, if I can, to verse 41. He's in the guard. Remember, he's going to leave the upper room. It's nighttime. Going to walk over down the little channel. And they're over here, the east gate's over here. Think of this as the city. You're going to go through that gate to come this way. Going to come this way, and they're going to walk down, as it were. They're on the other side. And the garden's over there, Garden of Gethsemane. And therefore, what's he do in that garden? He stops. Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them for a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him, and from heaven, and strengthened him. His physical being is being tested. Now, you remember when he entered the city, he's going to enter, and we did that Sunday, he wept. He literally wept for them. He knew their terrible, wonderful opportunity, and they had thrown it away. They had thrown it away. And he knew they wouldn't get it back. Because as we read and studied, Titus was coming in just a little later, 70 AD, to level the city. And over 1 million Jews would be killed in that terrible time. Now, so having said that, the angel strengthened him. Verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So the word agony, strife, conflict, it has to do with strife, conflict, etc., going and fighting in the Grecian games, and agony. You go and work through everything, and you'd have to understand what they do. They train so fiercely. And when it's time to run, time to whatever they had to do, you give it your all. You're ready, you're trained, you've prepared your body for weeks and weeks and weeks on end to give itself in fullness to whatever you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. And you've prepared yourself. His hour had come, and that's the word agony. He's going to go to a great struggle. What's he going to struggle? He's going to struggle through what? He's going to have to go and drink the cup. What's he know he's going to do? He's going to go and drink the cup, the bearing, cup, filling the buck. He's going to drink the cup that's filled with all the sin of the world. And in that cup, he's going to drink every word, thought, and deed you have ever will say from the time you're born until the time you die. And if he doesn't cover them all, you can't be saved. They all have to be covered. And they all have to be covered for every human being that is going to be born. Now that's a lot. That includes Cain and all the days of Noah and all of the all of everything. That includes that. So we can't even imagine that. I can say it simply, calmly, but I can't. I couldn't come to grips with that. We just can't do it. We can't do it in a little way, let alone anyway. So therefore, the agony to be stretched as the champion, to be sweat, perspiration. What did he do? Great drops of blood. Well, when your body is in such, the mind, the heart, the soul, the humanity, his humanity is fully alert, and your humanity lives in your body. You live in your body. And when it's there, you in the body, you're using the body. The body is reflecting. That's what stress is in all of it. What are you doing? You're mentally stressful, distressful. What's it do? It affects your body. You know all these things. Most things, physical problems from the mind, from the stress. They aren't from other things. It creates problems with your body. Your body wasn't designed for that. Your body was to serve you. And so here is our Lord using and exercising his person, and in his body, he himself is going to bear the sin of the world. And therefore, his body is reacting to it properly, understandably. He's sweating. The body is in such emotion, turmoil, struggle. We can't imagine it. So that the capillaries are moved, and the blood, it's coming out of the capillaries, and the sweat is colored by the blood drops. The blood drops are colored by the sweat as it comes out. Everything is breaking down. I can't imagine that. But you have to understand what he's doing. He's going to face the sin, your sin and mine. Hang on to that. And we don't understand it. Why did you weep over Jerusalem? Because people didn't know. People didn't care. Hang on. So now, having said that little bit, he did that in the garden. That's an awesome thing. And he didn't weep in the garden. He already had done that. He already said, I have already told you and showed you what a terrible thing you do in rejecting me. Now I'm going to go through the process, and I'm not going to weep again. I'm done weeping. I'm on my way. Now either you believe or you don't, but I'm done. I'm done. Now, hang on. So here we are in the garden, and he's going to go in great suffering. And as you notice in the end of verse 42, not my will, but thine be done. God, let it be done. Let it be done. That which I'm going to go, God, I'm going to go and do this. Now, having said the garden, what's going to happen next? Well, then we're going to go after the garden, and we're going to go, and they're going to get Judas in trial and arrested and all that. So then what happens? Well, here's just one thing to give you a little sense, which you can't get. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 27. And in chapter 27, picking up, please, in verse 27. This is now, before Pilate, etc. And Pilate wanted to release Barabbas, etc. Verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. So everyone come to see the show. Come and see the show. Okay? And he stripped, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, remember Genesis 3, thorns. What are you going to do? The ground's going to be full of thorns. Cursed ground. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand as a staff. And they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment back on him and led him away to be crucified. Now, how was that? Is that suffering? Absolutely. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He's King of Kings. And you're doing what? You're playing a game with him. You're playing a game with God in Christ. And God, you're letting it happen. I am. Hang on. I'm letting it happen. Wow. I can't imagine spitting on him. Wow. Hard to think. I can't even imagine it. Now, having said that, so here we are. Here we are in the garden, and we come to the arrest. And we did the arrest. Now, in the process, they have the arrest. He's going to go to the cross. Now, in the process of going, you understand that they're going to go and trials and all those things, false accusations and everything else. And he's going to go, and they're going to take, and he's going to carry his cross, and in his own energy, etc. And he's going to go and enter the city in triumphant. But after the trial, after the garden, he is no more triumphant. He's going to go and be crucified. Now, God, are you correct in your diagnosis of the people that you came and they received you not? They are rejecting you, priests, scribes, Pharisees, people. Is your diagnosis correct? Yes, it is. Is your prognosis correct, where it's going to go? It is. Now, God, what kind of evidence are you going to record for us that we could know this a little better? Therefore, if you would just think about it for a sec, think of all the different things as God gives us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have no king. We have no king. Crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us. He is guilty. Guilty of death, said the people. To the chief priest, all the people said, what did they say? Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king. We have no God. Wow. I have nothing, as it were, for all practical purposes. So therefore, that's the whole mood. They all were cheering, entering the city. That's all gone. Because the reality was, you need to really see it as it is. You have to be careful what people say and think and do. To where are they really? Well, in this case, they aren't where they should be at all. So now, having said that little bit, and remember, Paul, the Lord, is a Jew. The Apostle Paul is a Roman citizen. He's a Jew, Pharisee. But he's a Jew. But he's a Roman citizen. You can't crucify Paul. Paul's a Roman citizen. You can't crucify Roman citizens. You can't do that. But our Lord isn't a Roman citizen. He's just a Jew. Like we shared, a servant, a slave. That's how they treat him. That's what he's going to do. They're going to crucify him. And they're going to put the nail prints in his hands, feet, on the cross. And you're looking at suffering. And I can't explain it. I don't want to have to experience. I hope the government doesn't get that bad. And in the process. and you have to understand, hanging there, he's going to hang on that cross from 9 in the morning to noon. He's going to hang on that cross with the other two guys. And he's there, and your nails and your body, your whole body weight is coming, and your feet. And I once read it, but I haven't updated it a long time ago. what that would be like. I can't imagine what that's like. And they're all looking at him, and he's telling them the words, the special words, Father, forgive them, and all of those things. And he does all those things. Now, as he's pierced, then we come to noon, the noontime. And noontime, God is quite different. Things are going to be different. He's hanging there, looking to God, talking to God, trusting God, very painful and all of that from a human standpoint. Now he's going to go, though, to the chief event, to the event of all events. Over, if you would please, to catch it. First, over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 8, if I may. And you would recall, if I can, chapter 8, picking up in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, that's crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So he's going to do the will of God, and he doesn't want to miss it, be deficient in it anyway. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. And he had a perfect 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week relationship. I can't imagine what that is because he did it perfectly. And he had that. So he could be in the middle of evil, darkness, and everything rotten and lousy. And it doesn't matter because he's full of the light to be able to understand and see and enjoy God in the midst of a world that isn't enjoying God. Over to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, if I may, and you would you won't recall because you didn't get quite that far, but chapter 16, picking up please, in verse 31, Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour, verses 32, chapter 16. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, all alone on the cross. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So here I am, my first 3 hours, I'm hanging there, looking to God in terrible suffering, but I'm looking to God and very working it through. That's awesome. But, and you're not alone. No, I'm not. Over, if you would please now, in the light of that, over if I can please, to Matthew 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, may I pick up, please, Matthew chapter 27, may I go to verse 45. And now, the sixth hour, now from the sixth hour, that's noon, from the sixth hour over onto the land, all the land, onto all over all the land, unto the ninth hour. What did those 3 hours, the last 3 hours? And about the ninth hour, that darkness was upon them. Darkness, thick. Now, verse 45, I should say. I'll read it again. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness. Now, God, what did you do? God, you are going to go in your awesome way, and if you let's be like in Acts, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God, and the blood of God. You say God can't bleed? No, he doesn't have blood. No, he doesn't. but Christ does. But he is so identified that when Christ died, he died. Now, what were you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to go and tell you what it's all about, what the awfulness it's all about. I'm going to go and crucify him. Well, he's crucified. No, he's there. He's there publicly, so you got 3 hours to check it. And now what's going to happen? I'm going to cover it. I'm going to cover the whole thing with a black pall, P-A-L-L. Cover the whole thing. I'm going to cover it. Why? Because God, in your wonderful being, you're going to go and judge yourself. You're going to go and judge yourself. You're going to bear your own judgment in Christ, his perfect humanity. And what are you going to do, God? Up to then, I'm never alone. But that moment, for 3 hours, God leaves him. His humanity, God's still there, but his humanity. And his humanity is what can die, because the wages of sin is death. It's our humanity, our humans, that Christ is dying for. He bears our sin in his own body on the tree. Now, having said that, as he's doing that, hanging on the cross and bearing our sin, he is forsaken. Forsaken. What's the forsaken mean? To leave in the lurch. To abandon. To leave hanging and walk away. To do something and walk away from it. To leave you abandoned. To leave you with nothing. God, all of a sudden, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving me? Look up verse up there. Why? Eli, verse 46. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why? For what purpose? You already know it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to experience it. And boy, that's a whole different book. I know what suffering is. When you have it, then you'll know it. You got to go through it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, took our sin in his own body on the tree. And that's what he did. And in those 3 hours, he entered into what we are experiencing till we come to know the Lord as our Savior. What is it like to be without God? Without life, without light, without love, without joy, no good, no way to get anything in any way, shape, or form, no way to have anything except that which is the opposite of bad. We've been sharing it. It's a horrible thing. The lake of fire is no picnic. And that's where he says you're headed, people that aren't saved. But what's then we aren't reading the signs as we did all those things. So here he is, forsaken. And how do we talk about it? I don't know. Lostness. What's it mean to be lost? Well, I'll give you a little illustration, good or bad. You all are sitting there we're sitting here in our human bodies. And in the process of a human body, I'm going to do a little exercise with you. I'm going to go and try to follow me if you can. Not literally, but thinking-wise. I'm going to take away your eyesight. I'm going to take your eyesight away. I'm going to take your hearing away. I'm going to take your taste buds away. I'm going to take your feeling away. I'm going to take away all your senses. So here you are on earth, but you can't sense anything because I took them all away. Now, what would you know? That you had something, all the earthly senses, and now they're all gone. What did the Lord know? I have a unique relationship to God, and it's gone. That's what he had to face. And that's what we face. God died on the cross to give us a recovery of that. And he had to die. The wages of sin is death. He had to die to make it possible. And that's what Christ is doing on the cross. He's bearing your sin and mine. Our condition. What is our condition when we're unsaved? It's like that on the cross. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. If you don't understand it, God covered it with a cloud because it's sacred. It's between God, God himself, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. He covers himself because you couldn't understand. I can't understand that awesome 3 hours. It's just beyond us. And God does that for us to protect us because we couldn't follow him. We couldn't even come close. We don't even care. Not you. People don't even care. We have no king. Let him be crucified. That's where they are. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, I wish I could, you know, it's an awesome thing. And we can't. I wish I could, in a sense, communicate it better. I can't. And for us to experience it better, I can't. All I can tell you is, the way that you're going to experience it, if you know, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior for real, God takes the darkness and gives you light. And God takes the stupidity and ignorance and blindness and gives you forgiveness, which you could never have. And you didn't do it, he did it. And the Spirit of God's awesome ministry is to give you this. He's the comforter. He's the one that communicates the benefits. So therefore, the benefits, over if you would please, to Hebrews. We'll do it in order. Hebrews chapter 2. What do we know about Christ's suffering that we're just talking about? What's God going to help us understand? Chapter 2, Hebrews, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, there's your word, suffered, being tempted, put to the test, he is able to succor, to come to the aid of them that are tempted. Now, God, what you did in those 3 hours, those awesome 3 hours, what you did, you made it possible for you to do, give us something we could never have. We couldn't get it. If you don't pay the penalty, we're not pardoned. We can't have anything. We stay dead in sins. God, you're able to come because of it and become to our aid, to succor, to help us as we need. Because if anyone understands without reading all the context, God, you do. Do you know what it is to be lost? God says, let me help you. I know what it is to be lost and left in the lurch, forsaken. I know what it is. Over, if you would, to chapter 10. And here's a little word, forsaken, again. Forsaken, I should say. And you'll notice it in a verse you're very familiar with, chapter 10, verse 25. What is the admonition? But not forsaking, there's your little verb, forsaking, leaving in the lurch, walking away, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and they do it. People do that. Sure they do. We have a day when there's many, many churches and many, many things. Back in the New Testament, one church per city, per district. You want to go to church, you either go there or you don't. It was real easy. No problem. Blue, green, yellow, whatever, whatever. That's where you go. That's where you go. Believers belong together. But that's long gone. Now, so here we are going, if we can, and in chapter, verse 25, not forsaking the assemblies of God together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. And boy, it's approaching, isn't it? Well, who knows? They may want you to have a little ID card to say you've been vaccinated or vacated or something. And you got it. You got a little thing, and you got to have it. And you can't go. Can't go. Can't go in the basketball game without it. Can't get in. Without the ID, say you've been vaccinated. They're going to do it and everything. You watch. You watch. No, they won't. Well, it's a neat thing. Control. Now, and then, if you think that, then take it a step further. I hate getting drifting off. Just think of Revelation 13. You can't buy or sell. You say that'll never happen. Whew, boy, you better think that through again. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, not forsaking themselves, as some were doing, because that's the day, and that's what we're happening. That's what's happening right now in the country, our own city, our own place. It's happening. The weakness is coming, pressure, squeezing, and the weak. When you get tested, we find out how weak you are. Testing proves whether you're strong or weak. The testing, like the athlete, you can either make it or you can't. Wow, and you've never tested, you would never know until you test it. Now, and therefore in closing, over to chapter 13. And you know, and appreciate your patience, and I hope you're just reminded a little bit about what God has done for us. And so God's awful serious about what he's done. It costs God, and you and I will never know the cost. So God's, we're sort of, not, people are sort of stupid about the whole thing. But God isn't. So when you start getting serious about God, God is already serious about you. In a good way. You can't go wrong. Now, chapter 13, God, you're forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Chapter 13, as you know, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not just Sunday, and be content with such things as you have. Don't get all upset. Enough today is today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And be content with such things as you have. For the reason, he has said, I will never leave thee. And then your little verb, nor forsake thee. And there it is. Why hast thou forsaken me? But I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. And remember in this little verb, right in there, there's five verbs, five negatives. They're not just two negatives, not just three negatives. There's five Greek negatives lined up to say never, 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 never. 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 What's never mean? Never. I'm never going to do it. So I need to catch the flavor of that and the enjoyment of that to be able to move freely. And thus, God help us in every way. It's an awesome season to be reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection. To be able to refresh our mind of that awesome event that is so beyond us, so necessary for us, but so out of reach in our earthly condition, just doesn't understand. And unless we could understand the loss of all of our senses, and that isn't even a good illustration, to be here and not have any sense, to lose it all. God had a sense of God and heaven, and he lost all that. Wow. We'll pray. Our Father and God, thank you for caring and helping, and try to help us understand a little bit of that which is beyond us. God, you judged yourself, and in the darkness, God, in the sacred, those sacred moments. God, all we can do, be like the disciples in the garden, We're a long way off, God. And all we can do, like the publican, standing afar off, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. God, we don't even know what that word means. We use it. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you. Thank you for dying. Thank you for saving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.